John F. Kennedy Library, President's Office Files, Presidential Recordings Collection, Tape Number 28A. For additional information, please see Recording Log Number 28A.
Capacity, so you can't this thing goes on, an attack on Cuba becomes general war. And that's really the question whether...
That's why Chuck the Bay takes is really right. He got it right. Better and better, worse and worse.
I'm impressed with this, Mr. President. We have a war plan over there, boy, and calls for a quarter of a million American soldiers, Marines, and airmen to take it out. We lost 1,800 Cubans against a year and a half ago. We're changing our evaluation as well.
The other problem is that South America, a year from now, I mean, the fact that you get these things in the hands of Cubans here, and then you say some problem arises in Venezuela, or you get Castro saying you move troops down into that part of Venezuela, and we're going to fire these missiles.
Well, I think you finished North America, if you don't believe these.
I think that's the difficulty, but I think you finished the same. I think it gives them an advantage.
It makes them look like they're equal with us, and then
we're scared of the Cubans.
We get the, we hate to have it in the hands of the Chinese.
It's a psychological factor. It won't reach as far as Venezuela is concerned.
Well, it reached the U.S., though. This is the point.
The psychological factor of our having taken it.
That's
the fact that if you go there, we're going to fire.
What's that again, Ed? What do you say?
Well, it's a psychological factor that we have sat back and let them do it to us. That is more important than a direct threat. It is a threat in the Caribbean.
The
Antichrist
said we weren't going.
Right.
That's what I mean. We just finished. Last month they said we weren't going to.
Exactly.
Last month I should have said we're.
Well,
that we don't care, but they said we're not going to, and then they go ahead and do it, and then we do nothing. Then
that's right.
I would think that our risks increase. I agree with this. They got enough to blow us up now anyway. I think it's just a question. Well, this is a political struggle as much as military. Well, so where are we now? Where is the? Give me the message to Castro. It's got much in it. Let's try to get an answer to this question. How much? It's quite obviously to our advantage to service this thing to a degree before, first to inform these governments, Latin America, Secretary suggests, secondly to let the NATO people write some warning to go. How much does this diminish? Not that we're going to do anything, but the existence of them. Without any statement about what we're going to do. Let's say we, 24 hours ahead of our doing something about it, we informed McMillan or made a public statement that these have been found on the island. That would be notification in a sense that of their existence. Everybody could draw whatever conclusion they wanted to.
I would say this, Mr. President, that if you've made a public statement, you've got to move immediately. Are they? Going to have a recovery in this country.
No, I understand that. We would be talking about, say we're going to move on a Saturday, and we would say on Friday that these MRBMs have been in existence, and this presents the greatest threat to our security, and that appropriate action must be taken. Could you stick planes over them and say you made the announcements at 6 o'clock Saturday morning, and at the same time or simultaneously put planes over to make sure that they weren't taking any action or movement, and that you could move in if they started moving in, the missiles in place or something, you would move in. That would be the trigger that you would move your planes if they're not coming out. Otherwise, you'd wait until 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock that night. I don't think that...
I don't think anything like that. I can't tell you why I'm doing it. Anything that shows our intent to strike is going to flush the airplanes and the missiles into the field. These are mobile missiles. They can pull under trees and forests and disappear almost as much as I visualize.
And they can also be ready, perhaps, between the time we, in fact, say we're going to come in and the time we do come in. This is a very, very great danger to this coast. I don't know exactly how to appraise it because I don't know the readiness period, but it is possible that these are field missiles, and in that case, they can be ready very promptly if they choose to do so.
These are field missiles, sir. They're mobile support tanks.
About a 40-minute countdown, something like that, has been estimated.
So you would say that the strike should precede any public discussion?
I believe so, yes. If you're going to strike, I think before you make any announcements, you should decide whether you're going
simultaneous announcement of what was there and why you struck with pictures and all that. It would be served the same.
Well, the only advantage is it's a kind of ultimatum. There is an opportunity of a response, which would preclude it. I mean, it's more a more for the appearance than for the reality, because obviously you're not going to get that kind of response. But I would suppose that there is, of course, which is a little different, which is a private message from the president to the prime to
Macmillan and to De Gaulle,
and that this is, you're going to have to do this, you're compelled, and you've got to move quickly, and you want them to know it maybe 2 hours before the strike, something like
that. That's true. That's different
than the night before, but it has to be kept on that basis of total secrecy. And then the question of what you do with these Latin American governments is another matter. I think if you notify them in advance,
the communists are taking
time. I think that's just not right.
I'm not completely, I don't think we ought to abandon just knocking out these missile bases as opposed to, that's much more defensible, explicable, politically more satisfactory in every way action than the general strike, which takes us into the city of Havana and the plane beach, takes us into much more of having been shot down. Now I know the chiefs say, well, that means their bombers can take off against us.
If their bombers take off against us, then they have made a general war against Cuba of it, which is it then becomes much more their decision. We move this way. I mean, the political advantages are very strong. Corresponds to the punishment fits the crime in political terms. We are doing only what we warned repeatedly and publicly we would have to do. We are not generalizing the attack to things that we've already recognized and said that we had not found it necessary to attack and said we would not find it necessary to attack.
Well, let's tonight, it seems to me we ought to go on the assumption that we're going to have the general two, we would call Air Force number two, which would be a general strike, then you ought to be in position to do that, or even if we decide to do number one.
And does that encompass an invasion?
But no, I'd say that's the third course. Let's first start with, I'd just like to first find out the air, so that I would think that we ought to be in position to do one and two, which would be, one would be just taking out these missiles, whatever others we find in the next 24 hours. Two would be to take out all the airplanes. And number three is to invade.
They have to take out the SAMs.
That would be included number two. That's a terrific difficult.
That may be three and invasion four.
In order to get in, to get the airfield, a certain number would have to be there.
Right. Well, is there a question whether any of the SAM sites are operational?
Not sure yet.
Okay, well, let's say we decide we better go the whole way. So let's say that number two is the SAM size plus the air.
So it's actually to clear the air. Win the air battle.
Now it seems to me we ought to be preparing now in the most covered way to do one and two with the freedom to make the choice about number one, depending on what information we have. I don't know what people do, which that requires, and how much is that going to
be. The president requires no action other than what's been started. Start Saturday or any time thereafter.
Where would they put all these planes?
You recall, we have this problem, Mr. President. We're going to get new intelligence that will be coming in from these flights. That's going to have to be cranked into any strike plans we're preparing. So there is that factor of time. The Secretary has given you the minimum time to make a decision now to, so that we can brief pilots and crank in the new intelligence. I would point out that...
May I ask a question? I understand we don't have to decide now we're going to do it. All we have to decide is that we want Sweeney to be prepared to do
that's
it.
Correct, that
and Sweeney has said that he will take the tape that comes in tomorrow and process it Thursday and Friday and prepare the mission folders for strikes on Saturday or every day thereafter.
Yes, the point is that we'll have to brief pilots. We're holding that back. And it'll be, we'll say, 400 pilots will have to be briefed in the course of this. So I'm just saying this.
America. All I was thinking of, at least until...
And they'd be briefed in such a way that they're secure. They have no access to...
Let's go back just a second now. You don't have to... The president does not have to make any decision until 24 hours before the strike, except the decision to be prepared. And the process of preparation will not in itself run the risk of overt disclosure of the preparation.
Doesn't imply briefing preparation.
It implies preparation of mission folders.
The 24 hours before they go, they say, I'd like to say this, Mr. President, the more time you can give, the better, because they can then do a lot more rehearsing and checking out of all these pilots. So while I accept the time factor.
Well, now let's say you give a pilot, I mean, how does he find his way down to a SAM size off of?
Target folder with all the possible guidance and so on. Target. They're well trained in that procedure.
Mission folders have already been prepared on all the known targets. The problem is we don't have the unknown targets, specifically these missile launchers and the nuclear storage. And we won't have that until tomorrow night at the earliest, and it'll be processed photographically on Thursday, interpreted Thursday night, turned into target folders on Friday, and the mission could go Saturday. This is Sweeney's estimate of the earliest possible time for a air strike against the missiles. Decision by the president on Friday, strike on Saturday. As General Taylor pointed out, if we could have either another day of preparation, which means no strike until Saturday, or alternatively, more than 24 hours between the time of decision and the first strike, it will run more smoothly. Well, now, what is it, in other words, for the next 24 hours, what is it we need to do in order, if we're going to do, well, let's first say one and two by Saturday or Sunday, you're doing it, everything in this.
President, we need to do two things, it seems to me. First, we need to develop a specific strike plan limited to the missiles and the nuclear storage sites, which we have not done. This would be a part of the broader plan. But I think we ought to estimate the minimum number of sorties, since you have indicated some interest in that possibility, and we ought to provide you that option. We haven't done this.
Okay.
But that's an easy job to do. The second thing we ought to do, it seems to me, as a government, is to consider the consequences. I don't believe we have considered the consequences of any of these actions satisfactorily. And because we haven't considered the consequences, I'm not sure we're taking all the action we ought to take now to minimize those. I don't know quite what kind of a world we live in after we've struck Cuba. And we've started it, we've put, let's say, 100 sorties in just for purposes of illustration. I don't think you dare start with less than 100. You have 24 objects. Well, you have 24 vehicles, plus 16 launchers, plus a possible nuclear storage site. Now, that's the absolute minimum that you would wish to kill. And you couldn't possibly go in after those with less than, I would think, 50 to 100 sorties.
And you'll miss some.
And you'll miss some, that's right. Now, after we have launched 50 to 100 sorties, what kind of a world do we live in? How do we stop at that point? I don't know the answer to this. I think tonight, State and we ought to work on the consequences of any one of these courses of actions, consequences which I don't believe are entirely clear of any of us.
At any place in the world.
At any place in the world, George, that's right. I agree with you.
Mr. President, I should say that the chiefs and the commanders feel so strongly about the dangers inherent in the limited strike that they prefer taking no military action rather than that they get the first action. They feel that it's opening up the United States to attacks which they can't prevent if we don't take it.
anything about it. If you go into Cuba in the way we're talking about it, taking out all the planes and all the rest, then you really haven't got much of an argument against invading.
Seems to be a limited strike plus planning for invasion 5 days afterwards to be taken unless something untoward occurs makes much more sense.
But I would be, personally, Mr. President, my inclination all against the invasion, but nonetheless trying to eliminate as effectively as possible every weapon that can strike the United States.
But you're not for the invasion?
I would not get this moment, Mr. President.
That's why
we get committed to the degree that Shackle just was in Berlin.
This is why I say I think we have to think of the consequences here. I would think that a forced invasion associated with assisting an uprising following an extensive airstrike is a highly probable set of circumstances. I don't know whether you could carry out an extensive airstrike, but let's say the kind we were talking about a moment ago, 700 sorties a day for 5 days without an uprising.
Based on this morning's discussion, we went into this, talked to some of your people, I believe, a little bit, and we felt an airstrike, even in several days, addressed at military targets primarily, would not result in any substantial unrest. People would just stay home and try to keep out of trouble.
Well, when you're talking about military targets, we have 700 targets here we're talking about. This is a damn expensive target system.
That was in that number quoted with Mr. Yeah. But that's not the one I'd
recommend. And neither is the one I'd recommend. But does that include every anti-aircraft gun or what is it?
This includes radar and all sorts of things.
Radar sites, SAM sites, and so on. But whether it's 700 or 200, and it's at least 200, I think.
More of the order of 200.
It's at least 200. You can't carry that out without the danger of an uprising.
Mr. President, while we're considering this problem tonight, I think we should also consider what Cuba's going to be a year from now, or 2 years from now. I mean, assume that we go in and knock these sites out. I don't know what's going to stop saying we're going to build the sites 6 months from now.
Nothing permanent about it.
But then where are we 6 months from now that we're in any better position, or aren't we in worse position if we go in and knock them out and say, don't do it? I mean, obviously they're going to have to do it then.
They have to put a blockade in following any limited action.
And then we're going to have to sink Russian ships,
right.
And we're going to have to sink Russian submarines. Now, whether it wouldn't be the argument, if you're going to get into it at all, whether we should just get into it and get it over with and say that, take our losses. And if we're going to, he wants to get into a war over this, hell, if this war is going to come on this thing, if he sticks those kinds of missiles in it, it's after the warning. And he's going to get into a war for 6 months from now or a year from now.
Mr. President, this is why I think tonight we ought to put on paper the alternative plans and the probable or possible consequences thereof in a way that state and defense could agree on, even if we disagree and put in both views. Because the consequences of these actions have not been thought through clearly. The one that the Attorney General just mentioned is illustrative of that.
If the it doesn't increase very much their strategic strength, why is it, can any Russian expert tell us why they... After all, Khrushchev demonstrated a sense of caution.
Well, several
Berlin's been cautious. I mean, he hasn't been...
Several possibilities, Mr. President. One of them is that he has given us word now that he's coming over in November to the UN. He may be proceeding on the assumption, and this lack of a sense of apparent urgency would seem to support this, that this isn't going to be discovered at the moment, and that... when he comes over, this is something he can employ. That here is Cuba armed against the United States, or possibly use it to try to trade something in Berlin, saying he'll disarm Cuba if we'll yield some of our interests in Berlin on some arrangement. I mean, that this is a trading ploy.
I would think one thing that I would still cling to is that he's not likely to give Fidel Castro a nuclear warhead.
Why does he put these in there?
That Soviet-controlled nuclear war.
That's right. What is the advantage of that? It's just as if we suddenly began to put a major number of MRBMs in Turkey. That would be goddamn dangerous, I would think.
We did it.
We did it.
That was 5 years ago.
Short.
But
in England, too, when we were short of ICBMs.
Yeah, but that was during a different period.
But doesn't he realize he has a deficiency of ICBMs vis-a-vis our capacity, perhaps, and feel that he's got lots of MRBMs, and this is a way to balance it out a bit?
I'm sure his generals have been telling him for a year and a half that he had it was missing a golden opportunity to add to his strategic capability.
Yes, I think you look at this possibility, that this is an attempt to add to his strategic capability. A second consideration is that it's simply a trading ploy, that he wants this in so that he can sell it.
If he can't trade, he's still got the other.
Well, they
and plus the political impact in Latin America.
Sure.
We're now considering these then Soviet missiles, a Soviet offensive capability.
We have to consider them Soviet missiles.
It seems to me if we go in there, lock, stock, and barrel, we can consider them entirely Cuban.
Oh, well, what we say for political purposes and what we think are not identical here.
But I mean, any rational approach to this must be that they are Soviet missiles, because I think Musk himself would never risk a major war on a fellow as obviously erratic and foolish as Castro.
Well, I would say, of course, one other thing is whether we should also think of whether there's some other way we can get involved in this through Guantanamo Bay or something, or whether there's some ship that, you know, sink the main again or something.
We think, Mr. President, on any of these plans, we'll probably get an attack on Guantanamo, at least by fire. They have artillery and mortars, and they easily within range, and that any of these actions we think will have to give air support to Guantanamo.
Well, that's why it seems to me that this, if we decide that we are going to be in a position to do this either one and two Saturday or Sunday, then I would think we would also want to be in a position, depending on what happens, either because of an invasion, an attack on Guantanamo, or some other reason, to do the invasion.
Mr. President, I personally would just urge you not to set a schedule such as Saturday or Sunday.
No, I have
all the intelligence.
That's right. I thought we ought to be moving. I don't want to waste any time, though, if we decide that time is not particularly with us. I just think we ought to be ready to do something, even if we decide not to do it. I'm not saying we should do it.
All this moving short of the briefing. We held back.
What about now, this invasion? If we were going to launch that, what do we have to be doing now so that 10 days from now,
I would say my answer would be largely in planning, particularly in the field of mobilization. That's what we want, what we will want to recreate after we are in our forces. Give attention. I might say that air defense measures we're starting to take already. We move more fighters into the southeastern United States, besides improving some of our control procedures under the general guise of preparations for that part of the country. That might react against the military fight. But I would repeat that our defenses are always weak in this part of the country.
Mr. Secretary, is there anything for any of these contingencies if we go ahead that the next 24 hours we're going to meet again tomorrow, probably in the afternoon?
No, sir. I believe that the military planning has been carried on for a considerable period of time. It's well underway. I believe that all the preparations that we can take without the risk of preparations causing discussion and knowledge of this, either among our public or in Cuba, have been taken and are authorized. All the necessary reconnaissance measures are being taken and are authorized. The only thing we haven't done, really, is to consider fully these alternatives.
Our principal problem is to try and imaginatively to think what the world would be like if we do this and what it would be like if we don't.
That's exactly right. We've got to work on that.
Maybe incidental, Mr. President. If we're going to get the prisoners out, this would be a good time to get them out.
I guess they're not going to get... No.
You mean take them?
No, well, I'm not. Well, if we're going to trade them out, that would be...
They're all in the Isle of Pines, these prisoners.
No, some of them are. They split up. Get them out alive. You went in back for us.
No sign of they getting out now, is it? He's changed.
No, but they will take 2 weeks.
We have a list of sabotage options, Mr. President. It's not a very loud noise to raise a meeting of this sort, but we do need your approval. I take it you are in favor of sabotage. The one question which arises is whether we wish to do this in naval area, in international waters, or in positions which may, mining international waters or mining Cuban waters, may hit mines are very indiscriminate.
Is that what they're talking about, mining?
That's one of the items. Most of them relate to infiltration of raiders and will simply be deniable internal Cuban activities. The question that we need guidance from you on is whether you now wish to authorize sabotage, which might have its impact upon neutrals or even friendly ships.
I don't think we want to put mines out right now. I mean, that's, we shouldn't wait for 24 hours at least.
What time are we going to meet then tomorrow? What is it we want to have by tomorrow? From the, we want to have it for the department tomorrow in a more precise form, whether there's any kind of notification we have to give. How much are they going to choose? Number two, what do you think of these various alternatives that we're talking about? Do you think there's any use bringing this to the chef in the way before? For example, do we want to, for example, where's Dobrina now? Is repeated.
Yeah, right.
flagged by this, and you just want assurances from him that, they're living up to what they have said, that they're not.
Well, let's say he said, well, we're not playing. You know.
The government of the Soviet Union also authorized TASS to state that there is no need for the Soviet Union to shift its weapons for the repulsion of aggression for a retaliatory blow to any other country, for instance, Cuba. Our nuclear weapons are so powerful and their explosive force, the Soviet Union has so powerful rockets to carry these nuclear warheads, that there is no need to search for sites for beyond the boundaries of the Soviet Union.
Now, what date was that?
September 11th.
But as I say, we haven't really ever had a case where it's been quite this, after all, they backed down in Chinese communists in 58, they didn't go into Laos, we pushed this fire, we haven't ever had a
trouble back
off.
But
what?
Yeah,
what?
It's been a year storage site.
At least.
That's very clear.
What?
I'm as puzzled as Bob is by the absence of a nuclear storage site.
We don't know about it yet.
I understand that. We may learn a lot overnight.
Isn't it puzzling also that there aren't any troops protecting the sites?
Well, there are troops there, at least there are tents.
Yeah,
there are
tents.
But they look like, oh, it looks as if you could walk over the fields into those vans.
Well, it's a goddamn mystery to me. I don't know enough about the Soviet Union, but if anybody could tell me any other time since the Berlin blockade where the Russians have given us so complete a provocation, I don't know when it's been, because they've been awfully cautious, really. No Russian. Maybe our mistake was in not saying sometime before the summer that if they do this, it's an act. Maybe they've gone so far.
groups who thought this was a low-risk operation. Tommy thought it was a high-risk operation by the Soviets, that they were taking real chances. The other people rather thought that they probably had miscalculated us and thought this wasn't a risky operation. You know, all the way they were going out in a leisurely fashion, the fact that SAM sites had been set up to protect it, the various factors which suggested to them that they didn't think anything was going to happen. Tommy leaned the other way.
Can I suggest that tonight we actually draft a paper and then start this way, just a paragraph or two of the knowns. And we have to, the knowns are that the SAMs are the, let's say, the probable knowns, because we're not certain of anything. The probabilities are the SAM system isn't working today. This is important. The probabilities are that the missiles are not operational today. The probabilities are that they won't be operational in less than X days, although we can't be certain. Pat said 2 weeks, I'm not so sure I'd put it that far. But there's just two or three of these knowns. I would put in there, by the way, the number of... They're unprotected. Another known I put in is that they have about 50X, makes 15, 17, and 19s, that they have certain crated, I forgot to say 10 or X crated MiG-21s, only one of which we believe to have been assembled, that they have X crated IL-28s, none of which we believe to have been assembled. This is, in a sense, the problem we face there.
You should state, or the agency should state, the military knowns?
Well, we can do this in just 10 seconds. It's a very, very simple statement, I think. But then I would follow that by the alternatives, not all of them, but the more likely alternatives that we consider open to us. And I would hope we could stay just a second here and see if we could sketch them out now.
I'd like to throw one in of a military kind. Should we get them in order? I would like to throw one in that I do not think the Army and the Chiefs would normally consider, and that is the possibility of genuinely making a quite large-scale strike followed by a drop, followed by a recovery of the people dropped to get these things, and not simply to increase the chance that we've hit most of them. There's always an incompleteness in a military operation, in an air operation. But if these things are what the pictures show, you could drop a battalion of paratroopers and get them. Now, what you do with a battalion, I grant you, is a hell of a problem. But I think there's an enormous political advantage myself within these options, granted all the Chiefs' difficulties, in taking out the thing that gives the trouble and not the thing that doesn't give the trouble.
This is opposed to
an air attack. I mean, how are you going to know that you've got them? And if you haven't got them, what have you done?
This, of course, raises the question of, having gotten this set, what happens to the set that arrives next
week? Let me answer Max's question first. How do we know we've got them? We will have photo recon filtering with the strike, which we need specifically plans this.
Proving a negative is a hell of a job.
Pardon?
Proving a negative is a hell of a job.
Yeah, but you can't put it on the ground very well either.
That's true. Terrible risk to put them in there.
I think it's probably a bad idea.
I think the risk is too great in relation to the risk of not knowing when we get them. But in any case, this is a small variant of
one variant of one.
It seems to me that there are some major alternatives here, though, and I don't think we discussed them fully enough today. And I'd like to see them laid out on the paper if your state agrees. The first is what I still call it the political approach. So let me say it, a non-military action. It doesn't start with one and isn't going to end with one. And for that reason, I call it a political approach. And I say it isn't going to end with one because once you start this political approach, I don't think you're going to have any opportunity for a military operation.
It's very difficult.
But at least I think we have to put it down there.
And it should be worked out. I mean, what is the maximum?
Yeah, it should definitely be worked out. What is it involved, and what are the chances of success? They're not zero. They're plus. I think
we did a hot line this morning.
All right, that's learned.
But you see, it's not just the chances of success. It ought to be examined in terms of the pluses and minuses of non-success.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
There is such a thing as making this thing pay off in ways that are of some significance, even though we don't act.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And this is my second alternative in particular. I want to come to that one. But the first one.
you're looking for, if you find it.
Absolutely. And then I call it another layer associated with these two actions is a statement to the world, particularly to Khrushchev, that we have located these offensive weapons